Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey Rangers, it's me, Jackie Cation, and it is another year of the Dork Forest. What the heck, right? So you should know that the website, JackieCation.com or thedorkforest.com or dorkforest.com, if you don't enjoy a determiner, are all still available. You could hear the show on all of the different things. I've been trying to figure out how to get off Spotify. Try not to listen to Spotify because they throw in ads that are not approved by me, Jackie Cation. So, we'll see what I could do. Anyway, but so you could always watch the show on my YouTube channel. I think it's The Dork Forest or Jackie Cation. It's all linkable on JackieCation.com, the Dork Forest page. And I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show. Not quite as sleepable because it's just me and Laurie Kilmartin bitching about stand-up comedy and also celebrating it. Anyway, so here's the thing. You can donate again to the show. If you enjoy the show, I would love for you to donate about $100 a year because that keeps everything in rolling along. And you can do PayPal, which is my email, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me anything you like about the shows and stuff like that. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. That's my Venmo handle. And if you see me in real life at a comedy show, you could just hand me a sweaty wad of 20s or whatever you like. That'd be great. And I also do stand-up comedy. So you can see my tour dates on JackieCation.com. You can see, you can listen to very old episodes of The Dork Forest on my Bandcamp. And I also put my very first album that I ripped. It's on my Bandcamp page. It's called It's not Circus People. It's Cake Is Not My Downfall, which is a track on the Bread album, but it has other jokes that are not on the Bread album. The audio is what it is, but there's also some very early Dork Forests and a storytelling album called Storytime, all on Bandcamp, and everything's either free or a couple of bucks. So new album coming out in February called Altercation and new special. And that, I'm sure there's more to it, but let's get into the show. Returning to the program once a year. It's always fun. Maria Bamford, welcome back to the Dork Forest.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to talk about the artist way. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. She took the words right out of my mouth. Her dorkdom is the artist way, which I had to find mine. I've done 11 of 12 chapters. I've never done the 12th chapter.
Okay, what is the 12th chapter? We could do it on a pod to see if that's something.
Do it in real time. Do you know that my friend TJ Ford, she has been doing daily pages for 20 years because she never read past the first chapter.
Not a bad way to do it.
Is there a right way? Is there?
I decided to approach the artist way creatively, which means I don't have to do the whole thing.
That's it. Jump around.
Also, some of the things which I did the first time, like the reading deprivation, where they say, oh, you can't read anything for a whole week. That was brutal. And although, of course, it did exactly what she said. It's like, oh, my God, I'm having so many ideas. They're not being drowned out by The Economist.
That is genuinely the only chapter I remember. Let me just do this thing first. Maria Bamford, you may know her from Song and Story. She is a stand-up comic and has a book and has many albums and many specials. And if you get distribution, everyone will get to see the documentary, right?
There's a document. It's called Paralyzed by Hope, which is a punchline of one of my jokes. People worried that I was actually in an accident.
Oh, my God. All right. Sure.
No.
Okay.
But just so you know, but it hasn't gotten distribution yet. So.
But so you may or may not get to see it. I saw it, enjoyed it thoroughly. I'm in it. I'm interviewed. Yeah,
Jackie's very good in it. Yes.
Right. Just Judd Apatow asking me over and over again, spoon or be spooned? No, that's not true.
No, Jackie kept the propaganda going. So
that's it. I'm here as propaganda machine. You guys keep it going. So what I was thinking we could do. So it's mariabamford.com. Yes, it's at Maria Bamford. Something. It'll all be in the notes. You should definitely find all the things. It'll be great. And you know where to find Maria Bamford. You know how to Google the words Maria Bamford, and then you'll find even more. But here's the scoopity scoop. Oh, and at the end of the month, I'm opening for her Madison, Milwaukee, and Michigan. That's what I've decided. 3 M's. Royal Oak.
Come on out. And if you don't have money, just email me at arimaamfordbay@gmail.com, which is available on all my feeds. And I can get you on a guest list.
They'll figure it out. Yeah, she'll figure it out. It's really the best. I've started doing that. I've only done it once because only one person has said I didn't have any money. And I said, well, email me. And then he came to the show. I got him a plus one. And he was psyched. He was a poet. Of course he didn't have any money.
Well, and like, those are the people I want there. It's like the person who takes the time to message me that they want to come, but they can't.
Right. Like, and to figure out your name, Pig Latined. Yeah.
I want that person front row.
Front row, front center. Row. But also silent, but laughing in between the yucks.
But yeah, if they have, I mean, I don't know. I'm now.
You've been trying to celebrate. Yeah.
I'm taking some clowning classes and I realize that the audience is the show. To not cut them off because they're the vibe. that's the philosophy of the red-nosed. Yeah.
That's also the alcoholic. They're like, if you have drunk too much and have a red nose, it's all about who you're talking to. It's not about you. Okay. So what I thought we'd do with The Artist's Way is a book by Julia Cameron, and it's more than just a book because there's a workbook, there's offshoot books.
There's so many books.
Julia Cameron has written some books, you guys. You want to do some navel gazing? You hook yourself up to some Julia Cameron.
It's millions of The Artist's Way was first. She self-published it because her buddy of her, she was teaching classes in New York City about how to do a creative practice. And her buddy's like, this is awesome. Why don't you write it all down? So she wrote it all down. Then that person made copies of it. Then people asked for copies. And then finally, you know, whatever years later, it was published as a book. And now it's a worldwide multi bestseller, which doesn't, I mean, let's not. Success is not the answer, but it's a cool story.
In many different ways. But it is a cool story that she had a friend who said, "Write it down." She wrote it down, and it spread like wildfire. That's the success story. It doesn't matter that she died in a made of gold bullion. It doesn't. Who cares?
Oh yeah, and she's still alive. She's still alive.
I will kill people. I said the other day, is that the reason Janine Garofalo didn't die so that you couldn't bring a set list up? And someone said, you know, she's still alive. And I said, I do know that, but I think it's funny to think of it as, you know, and I will say it long after she's dead, if I outlive her. And if I don't outlive her, justice served, right? Right?
Yeah.
That is actually one of your punchlines. Okay, Maria Bamford, I would like to go through. What I have is I have the list of contents, each chapter. Can we do that? Or is there any other? Okay.
No, that's exactly how to do it. Great job.
Okay. First of all, these two words, and this is in the introduction, spiritual electricity, the basic principles. Do you know what those words mean, spiritual electricity? Can you remember? I don't.
What it means is it's like looking for patterns, or like the scientific way of saying it is like, oh, human beings when we say something aloud, like, oh my God, I love the color green. Suddenly you start seeing green everywhere. So I don't know if it's, I loved the higher power aspect of the Artist's Way, where I felt led by, I'm not sure if it was Christ, but certainly some higher power really wanted me to do stand-up comedy.
The wind.
The wind was in charge. And I less believe in that now, more it's just sort of like, if I speak something aloud or write it down, like, it's a little bit more likely to happen, even in just the fact that I've said it.
And it's weird. It's almost like a to-do list in the way that you will forget to do things if you don't sometimes, if you don't write a to-do list. So if you write to-do list, I would like to write a short story, and you say that out loud, you're more likely to do it than if you never said it out loud, I think.
If you say on your vision board, marry someone kind, then don't forget to put that down.
Do not forget. That is what I did. You know, I said, I would like to date someone. What I would like to do is I would like to let someone like me, and I would like to go out with someone who is nice to me. And I don't think of that as a weakness.
Aww.
Right? Because I always thought the tough, funny guys were going to be able to stand up to my brothers and stand up to other comics, stand up to my family. They never wanted to date me. It was kind of, talk about a God shot. Talk about a gift from the L-O-R-D. Because those guys are a mess. And the first time Andy Ashcraft ever met a bunch of comics, it was Lewis Lee and fucking Dave Mordall. Or fucking Lewis Lee and Dave Mordall, doesn't matter. Both of them were banana heads at him. And I think it was Dave who said to him, so how is Jackie in the sack? Mm-hmm. And Andy grabbed a chair, turned it around, straddled it, and said, you guys want to know? Let's get into this. And they both turned red as a beet.
Of course they did.
Shut the fuck up. That's what they did. And I was like, oh, that's why I like him. That's another reason, is because he's, in addition to being childlike, he's also an adult man. So,
yes.
And he will stand up for himself. So it's good.
Yeah. So I think that's what that is the electricity is like going, oh my God, I said I wanted a hamburger. And guess what I'm doing right now? I'm eating a hamburger. That's crazy.
It is crazy. Okay. So week one, recovering a sense of safety. Shadow artists, your enemy within, core negative beliefs, your ally within, affirmative weapons, creative affirmations, tasks, and check-in. So how about shadow artists?
Shadow art, that's what somebody who goes, I'm not creative. I do all the backstage stuff, which is totally a way of being creative. So that's not true. But I totally genuinely believe that some people don't want to be on stage. I guess this shadow meant like it's people going, I really love this person. I'm going to do everything for them, make their work happen.
Yeah. Which is also an artistic endeavor. If it's proportioned right. I mean, maybe like this isn't the Bible. This is just a textbook, right? It's just it's a way to do something.
I think shadow artists, I think, are also known as wives.
yeah. Oh,
the
yeah.
The person who's tasked with setting everything up, inviting everybody over.
I have had so many women. Right. Everyone's always said, you know what I could really use as a wife? Remember that joke?
Yeah. That's yes, always so good.
And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. If everybody had a wife, then everybody, you know, would have someone who supported them.
We're wives to each other on the road, I feel like.
I think so.
Pick me up a chicken seas.
You'll think of me. You'll say, cold brew right here coming at you. And that's also just sort of that thoughtfulness that makes you think about other people, which doesn't interfere with your own artist, I don't think.
Bring you down or so there's that. And then affirmative weapons. So I really like this where you said, okay, what are my deep, dark feelings? You know, I'm too old. I'm too gross. I'm too dumb to make it in show business or whatever it is. And then you make it into, no, I'm not gross, dumb, and old enough to make it in show business. Like, I am the most gross, and that's what show business needs. Or whatever it is, you change it. Like, or I used to say it, I think like 10 times a day, I'd say, I, Maria, am a brilliant and prolific comedian. 10 times just a day, just to pump myself up.
That's it. Pull yourself up. There's the Louise Hay book where you have to say you love and approve of yourself 400 times a day for 1 month. And what it did for me was all it did mostly was because I started doing, well, I'm going to say it 10 times every time I hear myself in my own head say something negative. And it turns out it was really easy to say something 400 times a day because I was constantly beat myself up inside my own brain box. So if you're beating yourself up every time you have a negative thought, we're like, oh, I'm the worst, or I'm gross, or I'm this, or I'm that. Just go, I love and approve myself. I love and approve myself. I love and approve myself 10 times. And then at the end of the day, you know, just sort of kind of keep track of that. And if you do it for a month, 400 times a day, by the end of that month, that is your go-to. You will notice a real attitude sort of difference. Whether, you know, you're just sort of faking it till you make it, really. But
yeah,
I think it works.
I think the artist, same thing, where it's just you start saying things and go, like, even if it makes you laugh, like, I, Maria, am a professional ballroom dancer. And I'm very good on roller skates. And I just start saying that. I bet I'm going to get the opportunity just by saying that. Something's going to happen. I'm going to buy a pair of roller skates online. You know, something's going to fall.
Right. It's not manna from heaven, but it'll remind you to go, you know what I would like to do is fucking roller skate.
Well, and that is the real problem with the artist's way, is that it doesn't take into account imperialism, white supremacy, racism,
opportunity,
privilege. Yeah. It does not mention that at all.
It is simplistic. But it's a very simple, like, it's available on audio tape, you guys, just, you know, it wasn't written yesterday. So
it's also available used in any used bookstore for $1, and it's half. Right. And those ones are half filled out. So it's really funny. You get to what somebody else was doing.
1992. So, I mean, and the thing is how exponentially society has changed. It's why all the reactionaries are reacting so harshly. And are being so horrible and so mean. They're just like, it all blew up so fast. And now anybody who feels a little bit different can say they feel a little bit different or unhappy. And you're like, yes, that should be a good thing. And you're like, no. When I was a kid, no one who was unhappy or a little bit different, they kept it to themselves. And you're like, just because it moves so quickly because of the internet doesn't make it a bad thing. It's okay. Yeah.
It's true.
So
it's true.
A core negative belief, though, does that come from our childhoods? Does it come from society? Does it come from racism and colonialism and all of it?
Who knows? And so then the opportunity, I guess, is just to go, what's the opposite of it? Or, create a new thought for yourself to think, or at least acknowledging that you're thinking that thought. Because that's weird.
So this first chapter, I think, is just about sort of defining all of that negative stuff and then giving you that creative affirmation thing to turn them around, maybe.
Yeah. Because like if you could, I know there were so many people when I would say that I was doing comedy or whatever, especially comedians would say, this is what... You know what who you are. And I'd be like, no, that's not. So it's a very empowering thing, this book.
Yeah,
so because you create your own vision.
Yeah, and if anybody's telling you you're not doing something when you're like, I'm pretty sure I am. Recovering a sense of identity is the second one. Going sane, okay. Poisonous playmates.
Oh, I don't know what that is. Oh, poisonous playmates. That's when somebody is a real asshole. And the problem, now, I was much more self-protective that because I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it if anybody said anything or looked at me askance. So I was very isolated. For good reason. Like I just could not handle anybody saying, hey, shut the fuck up, Maria. Now I'm 55, fully medicated. If somebody tells me to shut the fuck up, I'll consider it.
You'll take it under advisement? You'll be like, well, maybe you got something there. Or you'll tell them to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But the poisonous playmate is that person?
I think that's somebody who goes, you go, and it can be anybody that you dearly love who doesn't.
Parent or a sibling or even a good friend.
Who's scared for you, like who says, you're really going to do that? You think you can attract enough people for an art show?
Yeah, that's,
somebody who loves you, but I think everybody's, I'm toxic, you know, we're all toxic a little bit, so right. We're trying our best, but yeah, that's the thing. It also says in the artist way, she says, like, you'll cut off these poisonous playmates, and I'm like, well, then that's everybody, like.
Well, and I think, or just maybe... In her case, do you think she was trying to create a sense of boundaries? Because this is 92, right?
92. So. Well, and in her older titles that now I've read of her, it's really interesting. The way she talks about her friends and people that are in her support network, it's very dreamy. Like, these people do not sound human. Like, she's like, and then I called Jim Bob, and he said, wow, it sounds like your heart source is really talking through you right now. And I just had a vision that you were going to write a musical. Like, these people, like, I'm just like, I don't know that
the
person.
The most, right.
Yeah. So
I can't tell you how many times you had to remind me that the first rule of Joke Machine is you can't say, why would you write about that? No, the first rule is, you have to just say, well, there's something there.
There's something there. That's a rich brisket.
That's a rich brisket. Okay, so Rules of the Road is in this chapter too. So fill the well for caring for my artist. You set small and gentle goals and meet them.
Sure.
You remember that it's harder and more painful to be a blocked artist than it is to do the work. Be alert always for the presence of the great creator leading and helping my artist. Choose companions who encourage me to do the work, not just talk about doing the work or why I'm not doing the work. That sounds like a real pill. Why haven't you done it? Haven't you written that novel? Oh, my God. If you end up with a pillow to your face in the night, it's because you asked me why I haven't written my novel yet. Anyway.
I love remember the small and gentle goals. That's so lovely. Small.
That's a good one, right?
Gentle.
Remember, the great creator loves creativity. Remember that it's your job to do the work, not judge the work. And place this sign in my workplace. Great creator, I'll take care of the quantity. You take care of the quality. Remember that chestnut?
That's such a good chestnut. And I do think about that, like with nature. Like I go like, oh my God. Succulents are just kind of growing all over the place and you can't stop them. You can't stop them. They're not asking permission.
Right.
They don't even want to be watered. And, creating anything. And it helps when you kind of detach from it and go, I'm just pooping stuff out.
That's it. And then like, here's this list of, they always have these lists of tasks and, I didn't do all of them, or I would do some of them half-assed. Like, you have to, like in the first week, you have to list imaginary lives.
Yes.
And then in the second week, you have to add five more. And you're like, I don't have 11 or 15 imaginary lives. It's hard to do that. And
mine and then, were always like prostitute. Like, I don't know, some people, because I were in the version of 80s shows, you know, with TV shows in the 70s and 80s, where they'd be like, they just show the guy taking the lady to dinner.
Right.
In a nice
Oh, that was it. She was an escort. She didn't have to lie there spread eagle like a starfish and wait for her holes to be poked. Wow.
It was
some imagery. None of that. Not on what was it? It was the Michael J. Fox one. Anyway, so list 20 things you enjoy doing. Rock climbing, roller skating, baking pies, making soup, making love again. See, that feels like there's some pressure. Because what if you don't, what if sex is hard?
Yeah, I mean that's where I mean the fun part, I guess, is like I remember I'm in the debtors anonymous group, and one of the things is they give you as an assignment sometimes is to write 50 ways you can make money, and it kind of lets your brain go wild of like, well, I could put my feet on the internet, I could put my feet, you know, like you just sort of open up, and not that you're going to do all these things for money, but like I could get some money.
WikiFeet lives. It does exist.
WikiFeet. But
they have that artist date thing too. So that a thing?
Oh, is that yes. That now the artist date, I would do it. You're supposed to go by yourself to some situation, whether it's a movie or go to an artisanal shop, if you will. And the problem was it was like as if you spend a ton of time with people. I was by myself all the time. My life was an artist date. So I'm not sure that I've had less.
Well, I think that if someone's listening and they want to do this and they spend a lot of time alone, maybe the artist date is find someone to go to a garden with, or go to the dollar store, or go to coffee. Like actually, because you've actively started being more social because I have because of these things.
Because guess what? Relationships are artistic. But, I'm going to argue.
That's okay. Chapter 3, recovering a sense of power. Anger is fuel.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. Anger is meant to be respected because anger is a map. It shows us what our boundaries are. Anger shows us where we want to go. Holy shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I love that one. That's so helpful because I would, if I got mad about something, like if I didn't do well on a show when I first started in Minneapolis or wasn't asked to, or somebody said, you suck, or Minnesota people would just say, you're not very good.
And that's the meanest way to put it, because it had to have come up a very deep place in Minnesota for them to have said that.
I remember a lady came up to me where I was working in a pizza restaurant, and she said, you should be ashamed of yourself, because I was doing some bit. And I was like, wow, okay. But that made me so mad. It made me so mad that I started to write stuff about it. So it's all good. All good.
Anger points the way, not just the finger. That's what she wrote here.
Yes. Yeah. Like if I'm jealous of somebody, you know, if I go, it's like, well, do I need to get some clarity of like, do I want to do what they're doing? And if so, let's get myself doing it in some way.
Right.
Because I think I used to have a lot of jealousy or anger towards actors. You'll feel like, oh, I want to be a star. And then the more experience I had in it, the more I was like, oh, this isn't fun at all. Sometimes it can be really fun. And then sometimes it's really tedious and lonely.
It's my least favorite when it's tedious and lonely. I saw Tom Holland was talking about ballet. Yesterday, I saw some clip and they asked him what he really liked about it. He said, he was talking to a guy who also, he said, have you always loved ballet? And the guy said, no, it was really boring initially. And Tom Holland goes, it was really boring, wasn't it? And then they both were talking about how boring the bar is when you just stand at the bar and plie and move your feet and the hands. And Tom Holland said that his favorite thing was when he finally got to spin.
Oh.
He said, when I got to spin, that was the fun part for me. And the other guy goes, I like jumping. And so it was one of the greatest conversations I think ever recorded. And
nice.
This chapter, this one about regaining your power, has a writing exercise in it that I forgot about, but that I use one of the questions. It's where you break your childhood, you break your life into 5-year increments.
Yes. Yes.
But they have a bunch of them. My favorite childhood toy was... My favorite childhood game was the best movie I ever saw as a kid. I don't do it much, but I enjoy. I mean, they're just prompts. They're like writing prompts. But they're fun writing prompts. My favorite musical instrument? Torn between the French horn and the cello.
I would like to learn. I wouldn't mind trying the trumpet. I know it would take a lot of...
You know who teaches trumpet? You know who teaches trumpet is Laura. Yes. And he's got about 4 of them. So you've accidentally turned off your camera and you're back. No?
No, I actually, it was me because I have this on, I have it on Do Not Disturb, but then I was still disturbed. I'm sorry. I was still disturbed.
Are you still disturbed?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Can you turn your camera on now?
I think my camera's on. Well, it's just frozen. It's frozen.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, this will be great. This will be easy for clips.
Okay,
then
great.
It can just be,
frozen.
Hopefully you'll come back.
Yeah, at some point.
All right.
We'll come back.
Anyway, can you see me?
Yes, I can see you. I can hear you.
Perfect. There we go.
Unplanned pregnancy? Learn how people are getting abortion pills by mail for a safe abortion at home, no matter what state they live in, at plancypills.org. That's plancypills.org.
Did you experience any synchronicity this week?
Oh, yeah. Did God
what is that?
Give
is that
God? Oh. No, that's when God gives you a message like, guess what? Remember how you met you wanted to fly and then you met a bird. You met a bird, and the bird was like, oh my God, you got to come flying with me.
Right. You know that Carmen Morales is telling a story about how she met a helicopter pilot once when they were all. Partying. They were super partying, and he had a 6 a.m. take rich people up in the sky in his helicopter. And she said, I've never been in a helicopter. And he said, let's go right now. And that felt like drunk helicopter driving. But whatever it was, she wasn't killed. I mean, how many stories have we got that end? And then I wasn't killed.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
The whole flying thing, I go, I guess I it might be interesting to be thrown out of a plane, you know, and do like a, whatever the umbrella pops open. But I don't know if I'd go out of my way for it.
Right. No. I think all life, bad life choices should be done by accident. I don't think anybody should say, you know what I'm going to do. There was a guy I knew in Minneapolis in the 90s who decided he wanted to go mad. And
he wanted to go what? Mad?
He wanted to go crazy. Yeah. So he ended up taking a lot of PCP. And he went crazy. And he sawed off his own ear. And then because he wanted to make a choo-choo train go around his neck. And then he wanted where the steam would come out to be his ear hole.
Okay.
And he asked a doctor to remove his ear, and they were like, don't be ridiculous. And so he sawed his own ear off. It's a terrible story.
That's a great story, and also not a bad idea. I was with him all the way to the beginning to the end. DIY. I appreciate that.
Well, and what it was an example of how men make decisions to do stupid things and other men don't ever go, don't do that. Or they say it once, but they never say it twice. And they certainly never pass a law saying you can't do that. But with women, they often will pass a law and say that's a terrible idea for women to do that. So we're not going to let you.
Yeah, it's not good.
Could you do me a favor and click the camera button on the bottom of your screen?
Bottom camera button at the bottom of my stream. Yes. Yes, click. I've clicked the camera.
Click it again. And then click it again.
Click it again. Boop, nope. Beep. Nope.
Well, it's an audio program, so it's not a problem. But and people know what you look like. It's all good.
So,
the next one, recovering a sense of integrity.
Oh, God.
This week may find you grappling with changing self-definition. The essays, tasks, and exercises are designed to catapult you into productive introspection and integration of a new self-awareness.
Oh,
do not skip the tool of reading deprivation. This is week four. This is the one.
Yeah, that is the one. And I don't think I've ever done that again after I did it the first time. I just was like, I know that it really did make a massive difference.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Because it does. Because if you don't watch TV or read, because I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And you're not.
You're left alone with your actual thoughts.
Actual thoughts. If you break your reading deprivation, write about how you did it. In a tantrum, a slip up, a binge. How do you feel about it? Why? So this one has a lot of sort of looking around your, there's the imaginary environment. Describe your ideal environment, town, country, swank, cozy. One paragraph, one image, drawn or clipped, conveys this. What's your favorite season? Why? Go through some mags. Find an image. Draw it out. Place it near your workspace. Yeah.
Well, that's fun. Because it makes me want to do the whole book again.
Right? Well, you said, I can't wait to talk about it. And I was like, I have been meeting. Laura House asked me if I would do it with her.
Yes. Yeah.
And I didn't want to say yes.
I almost did it at a support group. But then I got really scared because it was all people in Pasadena, and I was like, these guys, they're going to be wet blanket me. Like, they're going to, like, go, no.
But they might not have. What if you chose it to be exciting?
You got that right. That's a new, you're right.
That's a new thing you say.
Exactly. What if everyone's my friend? And nobody's harboring harm for me in their hearts.
I believe in it. Then there's time travel. Describe yourself at 80.
Oh.
What did you do after 50 that you enjoyed?
Oh.
Be very specific. You're there. We're all there. Now write a letter from you at 80 to you in your current age. What would you tell yourself? What interests would you urge yourself to pursue?
I'd say, girl, get out there. Go out there and have some fun.
I would say take more classes. I see you and our friend Jennifer McLean take a lot of classes. Like just weird, like throw a ball against a wall class. I mean, they aren't like, it isn't like I have to do, you know, calisthenics, just any class. No. Yeah.
Yeah. You could take belly dancing at the Van Nuys Community College. I've done it.
And it would be me in this body. Taking belly dancing class.
And which is the ideal body for belly dancing. Because the lady who taught us belly dancing, she had a beautiful belly.
Okay.
You don't want to be scrawny. We want to be enjoying.
Nancy Cation, belly dancer.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
That's right. Nancy Cation. I should probably post that picture. People might want to see it. Okay, now this one. Remember yourself at 8. What did you like to do? What were your favorite things?
God.
Write a letter from you at eight to you at your current age.
I liked Girl Scouts. I liked going to creative writing class and being with a book. I had a great books club. So I am in a book club, and I'd like to join another one. And I'd like to, yeah, what did I do when I was eight? I think I would still pretend at that age, like pretend with other
friends. My God, that's all I did at eight.
Yeah.
It was just, I played imagination like a crazy person. And that's when I started journaling. Yeah.
That's a good time. I wish I could get back in that state of pretending, because I remember just hours going by and me pretending a snowball was a family member. And God, it was just great.
I still play pretend. There was a game that I used to play, whatever, when we drove in the car, trapped with everyone in the car smoking, and Darla and I sitting in the backyard, and I would pretend that there was a monkey that would go from one telephone pole to the next as they bored on and on and on about siding. And my dad showed us all the houses that he had ever worked on. And then we finally had ice cream. But 4 packs of cigarettes later, I was probably just high. And so look at one situation in your life that you feel you could change, but haven't yet. What's the payoff for staying stuck? Oh, remember that? What do you get out of staying stuck?
Yeah, what do you get out of it? Oh,
that's
shit.
One of those.
Well, the main one is my whole suffering before shows. Like, I get nervous before shows, and it's like, why am I doing that? No. We're in the back nine. Like, it goes well 95% of the time. And even if it doesn't, it's a funny story. So it's all wins. Like, just let that. And what I was getting out of it, out of suffering, was feeling like, oh, I did a good job, thinking that I cared enough, and that somehow I can't, if you enjoy yourself too much, it's gross.
Ah, you know what? When I moved here to Los Angeles, California, there was a thing when the alt comedy thing happened, and everyone was like pretending that nothing mattered. Mm-hmm. And that everything was kind of effortless. And that's why we all get to look at our set lists.
Oh. But
people were genuinely working on stuff. Like, it all it looked easy when Paul F. Tompkins got on stage. But you're like, no, he wrote that. He spent time. And look at him. He's wearing a vest. He spent an extra time putting an extra layer on. So it's not like he doesn't care, but it was like what I get out of some stuff, because then I don't have to, sometimes I feel like then I don't have to try as much if I don't, like if I make fun of myself before you, I used to do this. I don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I used to make fun of myself before you could make fun of me.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, you're going to make fun of me. Yeah.
I still have a tendency to do that with
with the cool kids.
I have no ambition. And it's like, clearly that's not true. Clearly not true. I am filled with a burning within.
Week
false
five,
engine. Yes.
False engine is recovering a sense of possibility. This week, you're being asked to examine your payoffs in remaining stuck. You will explore how you curtail your own possibilities by placing limits on the good you can receive. You will examine the cost of settling for appearing good instead of being authentic. She might have introduced the word authentic into the plot here. You may find yourself thinking about radical changes, no longer ruling out your growth by making others the cause of your constriction. So I am the virtual trap quiz. There's a quiz
virtue
at
trap?
The end of this.
The virtue trap.
Virtue trap. What is that?
That's when you think you're being a good person or a good worker. And so that's why if you're enjoying yourself, that's bad.
You're beating yourself up. So, oh, like you would, because one of the things is I, as I play more, I work, if you were a virtue trap, you'd be like, I work less, I don't work as well, or this, instead of, as I play more, I work better. That would be better.
So
right?
Lovely. Yeah. Well, she has the example of this guy who's like, she was married to Martin Scorsese. So there's like, she's talking to a guy who was like a filmmaker who was doing really well.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you have no idea. I've got 3 films in the making. I can barely go ride my horses. It's like, well, that's on you, man. Like, go ride your horse.
Yeah, it turns out you're not living check to check, Martin Scorsese.
Yeah. well, it wasn't Martin. It was somebody else, I think.
Oh, it was just not like sure. That, though. It was somebody kind of famous.
Yes.
Yeah. But so the virtue trap quiz is, the biggest lack in my life is blank. The greatest joy in my life is blank. My largest time commitment is blank. As I play more, I work blank. I feel guilty that I am blank. I worry that blank. If my dreams come true, my family will blank. I sabotage myself so people will blank. If I let myself feel it, I'm angry that I blank. One reason I get sad sometimes is blank. Does your life serve you or only others? Are you self-destructive?
I had this fantasy. Tell me what you think. But it is kind of long arseway thing. I was like, how could I just pay a kid in my building to knock on my door in the morning so that I wake up?
Like, oh, right.
Just go, hey, I'll pay you $20. Knock on my door until I answer
kind of
it.
Kind of pound on it.
Yeah, so that because I need that. I also need human interaction because I won't get out. I won't get up. And I'm like,
What time would you have wanted such a thing to happen?
It doesn't even matter. It's whenever the kid thinks of it. like, I'm sure they're getting up earlier than I am. Everyone is getting up earlier than I am. So, yeah, I was just thinking of offering that as a job for a kid, which might totally weird people out. But I was like, yeah.
Well, you know what else they thought was weird? Meeting you over Zoom one-on-one. But
yeah.
People do it.
Nobody cares.
Like,
yeah.
And if you live with somebody, it'd be like hiring a kid to shovel your walk in the Midwest. You're like,
yes.
I will give you 5 to 20. It's probably 20 now just because it was 5
yeah, 20,
when we were kids.
Yeah.
But $20 to at like 11 a.m. or whenever you think of it. Just pound on it and go, you want to get up. You told me you wanted to get up. What do you do? What would you do if you were awake?
Yeah. And you know, if I, even if I seem like irritated that they've woken me up, I'll still have a stack of 20s.
So I think it's still recording. That's what I think.
I think so too.
Let me look.
If recovery. Not... How gorgeous, this would be a full artist way exercise in that we've done something and gotten it done poorly.
Right. But it happened anyway, you guys. Mm-hmm. And just think to yourself, what you've already learned so much about us. Because we've dorked out hardcore. Because that's the thing with the artist way does, is it makes you navel gaze and go, what do I think about that?
Yeah. Well, and I like the emotional part of it of like, I don't want to be a victim. I don't want to be a victim or say like, oh, they didn't let me do this. It's like, no, I didn't let me do this.
Right.
You know,
it's what Nancy Kashian said when I was like 22 or 23 years old. She said, you know, it's really sad if you got born, it was raining when you were born, but if you're 30 and you're still standing in the rain, get the fuck out of the rain. And
Nancy Kashian.
He's coming in with a lot of sayings, it turns out. She used to say, regurgitate, puke up all the food you ate. She had an eating disorder. Yeah. But she also knew when I was sick, it would help if I threw up. A couple of times I was super sick and she was like, you should just throw up. She taught me how to make myself throw up, which only later did I realize she might have had an eating disorder. At which point, my sister, Darla Kashian, said, when did you realize Nancy had an eating disorder?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, recovering a sense of abundance.
Okay.
Find 5 pretty or interesting rocks.
which, so good. I mean, this one is interesting. I think it's like that's the reason she's written so many other books, is because you need to hear it her say the same thing, but in a different words or
examples.
Yeah. Like, cause she always uses a pint of blueberries. Oh, I mustn't get myself a pint of blueberries. They're in season. And,
that's when you should get a pint of blueberries.
That's when you should. I like to think that sometimes, but you don't, what if your desires aren't classy? I like to get a 7-Eleven sandwich. That's not always, she's not, I want a pony.
Right. My knee-jerk reaction to the judgment of you wanting a 7-Eleven sandwich is not okay. This is, you know, I have a podcast with Lori Kilmartin, and she, her taste buds were shot off in the Franco-American War by Chef Boyardee. And so she's constantly saying stuff like, I love a red delicious apple. And where the rest of us are like bug-eyed going, are you out of your mind? And she's like, but they're great. And I should just support her. Just support that. That's just, if that is what she would like, God knows. Yeah. All right. Recovering a sense of connection.
I love connection.
There's a jealousy map exercise. Oh, it looks like a fourth step list. You write down who, why, and the action or antidote. My sister Libby, she has a real art studio. Action or antidote, fix up a spare room. Now, this is not admitting that anybody has any kind of other space that they can do.
Spare room, you know, or, or has the wherewithal to buy this book, or, I mean, there's just a billion things.
When you learn to harness its fierce energy on your own behalf, jealousy is part of the fuel toward a greener and more verdant future.
I don't mind that.
Once we're willing to accept that anything worth doing might even be worth doing badly, our options widen.
Yes.
Watch me do this.
I love that.
Recovering a sense of strength. This week tackles another major creative block, time. You'll explore the ways in which you have used your perception of time to preclude taking creative risks. You'll identify immediate and practical changes you can make in your current life. You'll excavate the early conditioning that may have encouraged you to settle for far less than you desire creatively. What's that one? A sense of strength. Is that it?
Yeah.
What's the tasks? There's early partnerings and exercise.
Oh, is that doing the book with other people? I only did it by myself.
Me too. This is a list of things to finish, like a Mad Libs. The person I remember who believed in me was, and then you write Mrs. Muldoon.
Miss Labadee.
Who is she?
Miss Labadee. She was my fifth grade teacher. She was the bomb. She wore such beautiful outfits, and she'd pick up the pleats to her pants whenever she sat down. She was just, and she would tell us these horrifying stories about, like, I just remember all these regarding death of, like, volcano, and then all the people who are caught in the ashes. She told us about that. Or the people who are in the bog, people from, like, they're stuck in the bogs, and their skin is still on because it was kept fresh. And she was tons of fun.
And she believed in you, the first person?
I feel like it. I feel she had lots of good stories and good stuff to do, like speeches and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool. Now, chapter 9 is recovering a sense of compassion. And this one, I forgot about this one. Your first task is to read your morning pages. Oh my God.
Wow.
This process is best undertaken with two colored markers, one to highlight insights and another to highlight actions needed. I would want to highlight, I would want a third colored marker, black, where I would just cross out some real bullshit. This is very important. Yes, they will be boring. Yes, they may be painful. Consider them a map. Take them as information, not as an indictment.
Because I'm not very good at my boarding pages anymore. I just kind of, I'll do one, two, and then I'll do the three. One will just be like giant letters, me going, fuck.
Yeah, and big letters. Big I remember letters. That.
Yeah, so.
Because you want to fill the, yeah.
But I wish I would start filling out all three, because I think there's something to that where it's like, I don't want to be aware of being alive, you know, mm-hmm. like, or writing down all my thoughts.
Right. And what if they're, and it's the, and it's going to be the same. You're like, oh, I ate too much again today. And I'm like, oh, I ate too much again today. Oh, I ate too much again today. Boy, I wish I wouldn't do that. And I'm not doing anything about it, but I'm also not killing everyone around me or myself. So it's a win, honestly. The next go ahead.
Oh, sorry. It's good, girl, because sometimes you do see like, oh my God, I keep talking about this thing over and over again. Because I definitely had that with marriage, like going, oh, I know I've written this down a million times and it's not improving. Like, it's not going anywhere. Yeah.
That's helpful. So, that seems good too, though.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. But also there is that fear of like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yes, right. I think that's why I stopped doing them because the truth will out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't really, if you have to write three pages, even if you write two, three sentences on each page in giant, you're probably going to write the same two or three sentences at least three times a week. And you're like, oh. Yeah. All right.
Guess what?
Yep.
Yeah. But what? Mm. Yeah. I'm scared of acting. That's my current thing. But no longer. Now I just feel excited. No longer.
That's it. Recovering a sense of self-protection. Week 10. So the workaholism quiz.
Okay.
I postpone outings until the deadline is over. Seldom, often, never. I try to do two things at once, seldom, often, never. Today, I was driving back from my friends playing a game, and I had to call Andrew because there was a traffic jam, and I wanted to record a video of me reading a book while I listened to music and drive, but I couldn't do it because I didn't have a second iPhone. Anyway, I called Andrew Sampson instead, and I just said, hey, man. He said, wow, you might want to look into the like, how's the driving in that situation? And I said, least of my worries. And he said, not good. So I set out to do one job and start on three more at the same time. Seldom, often, never, this type of thing. I work in the evenings during family time. I allow calls to interrupt and lengthen my work day. All right. Whatever. So, self-regulation, protection.
I do like bookkeeping and stuff at night when I'm watching TV. Mm-hmm. That just seems fun.
Right. You like bookkeeping. And well, I remember. Yeah.
I'm not good at it because every year I think I'm going to do a great job. And then every year it's like, guess what? The state of Tennessee is fining you $1,000 because you fucked. sorry.
All right. Well, this is a sense of self-protection. So a bunch of the tasks are, one of them is cherishing. List five small victories. List three nurturing actions you took for yourself. List three actions you could do to take comfort for your artist. Make three nice promises to yourself and keep them. Do one lovely thing for yourself each day this week. And that doesn't have to be anything. I've been smelling. We got flowers. We got flowers all over. I've been smelling some flowers. Recovering a sense of autonomy. Week 11. Artistic autonomy. Ongoing ways in which to nurture and accept ourselves as artists. I have to free myself from determining my value and the value of my work by my work's market value.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a lot. Yeah, yeah. We should all do that. We should all do that.
Yeah. Although
tape your own voice reading the basic principles.
What if there really were 12 steps? Or if she just felt like, I got to fill it out.
Week four. Place it in your wallet.
Got to fill out the form.
Buy yourself a special
notebook.
Autonomy
was something she squeezed in at the end.
Hey, so I say chapter 11 and 12 are a mystery, much like my own experience. But can you leave Riverside open long enough to let it try to upload everything?
And yes.
Yeah, because 11 and 12 are good ones, but they're mostly just, let's see. 11, 12 is recovering a sense of faith. Maybe autonomy and faith were the two.
Yeah, that's when she gives you a handwritten prayer.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Where is
no, that was four.
Prayer?
That was four.
Four. Oh, okay.
You're supposed to rework some prayer. 12 is write down any resistance, angers, and fears you have about going on from here. And we all have them.
Oh. And we all have them. The other thing I love about Julie Cameron is she was bipolar.
Oh, was she?
So she's has the bipolar one. And yeah.
Okay.
So at least that's somehow what I heard.
Oh, that's great. And then the other thing is list five people you could talk to about your dreams and with whom you feel supported to dream and plan. That's what this was.
That's what this was.
That's what the Dork Forest is.
Thank you for having me. And really, I'm re-fired up about it.
Yeah, me too. Maybe we'll all do it and then we'll check in.
We could do it on the road.
We could do it on the
road.
Right, because I'm doing a bunch of dates with Maria. We're traveling a whole bunch of times together. I say out loud, let us try and do it on the road.
Yes.
MariaBamford.com. She does the stand-up. Paralyzed by Hope.
JackieCation.com.
JackieCation.com. DorkForest.com. New Altercation. New video out of me with the bidit.
New York Times, one of the top five specials of the year.
That's right. And Rangers, thank you so much for listening and watching the show. And you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?